First, the pandemic forced a lot of people to change their shopping habits and make more of their purchases online instead of in-store. Some business analysts wondered if that change was going to become permanent as more people tried out online shopping for the first time. Turns out as the threat of the pandemic wound down, so did some of that online spending. Data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows that the growth of online sales was slowing down, while overall retail sales have continued to go up. That trend could shape the way businesses approach their retail operations in the future, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How much of your shopping do you do in-store versus online? Did the pandemic change how you shop? If so, have you changed back? What are you doing differently? What are you doing the same? Call 800-642-1234. Tell us how you buy your stuff. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Hart Posen is a professor of management and human resources at the UW-Madison School of Business and an expert on business strategy. Hart, welcome back to not just Central Time, to the studio.
It's so good to be back.
It's been a while.
With you. It's great.
Got the band back together.
All right.
Now, we were talking, not in the studio, early in the pandemic, a lot of people new to online shopping. The big question mark was, is that going to stick? Are we training people? Are people picking up this habit? They're going to stick with it. Bad news for online stores. What are you looking at today?
Well, the habit is still growing, but in fact, we're gone back to growing at the pace we did before the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, there was this big upward spike in online shopping for obvious reasons. But now if you look at the trend from before the pandemic, we've gone back down to that old trend line pretty much. So pretty much the pandemic effect on e-commerce overall was transitory. It went away, but we're still buying more and more online every year.
But it's that slow, gradual growth we saw before we heard of this pandemic, not that like exponential growth we saw during it.
That's exactly right. And this varies by sectors. For different sectors, the change has been different, but yes.
And one of the charts I saw with this census data was clothing sector. And man, oh man, and that it looks like we're exactly where we were before pandemic. We bought stuff online. We were apparently happy to do it, but I guess we're happier to go to a store and buy our clothes.
Well, yeah, you see this in a couple of ways. If you look at other data for clothing retail, you'll find that, in fact, clothing was one of the hardest categories hit by the pandemic. In terms of total dollar volume, after the pandemic eased off, retail sales of clothing skyrocketed and went back down. You know, there was a lot of pent-up demand for clothing, but part of it is we want to go to the store and try it on. And the data across very different segments, one piece of data I've seen recently, is maybe up to 2/3 of people or more want to go and try it on.
Now, one part of this story, too, was your online companies, Amazon in particular, really muscled up, hired people. Where I go to my grocery store, there were traffic jams because across the street was an Amazon distribution and all these Prime trucks going around. Concern now, I think, in the markets that they may have overdeveloped their facilities, their staffing, given what we're looking at now.
Well, Amazon has been hard hit lately. Their stock has dropped by about a third since its peak, and they are scaling back on hiring. They're scaling back on some of the growth rate and distribution infrastructure, and we're starting to observe that. But don't think for a second that means anything negative for Amazon.
Right, they're not going to go away tomorrow.
Certainly not.
We're talking to Hart Posen from the UW-Madison School of Business, looking at how we buy things. The pandemic, online shopping went up a lot. Now we're seeing retail stores not doing so bad. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Want to hear your shopping evolution over the last couple of years? That's 800-642-1234. Joe joins us now in Lake Geneva. Joe, hi.
Hey, I just wanted to mention the fact that I actually prefer shopping in person now, just on account of the fact that, like, with a lot of Amazon deliveries and stuff are being stolen, and so it just, like, kind of takes that aspect out of the equation, you know?
Yeah. And Joe, I want to ask, did you at any point during the pandemic, were you working from home or were you in a job where that wasn't an option?
No, I've never had the option to work at home, no.
Okay, Joe, thanks a lot for bringing that up. I bring that up, Hart, because I think what the retail theft thing was, if I'm working at home all the time, I'm there when that package shows up. Porch Pirates, sorry, I'm bringing it in before you get there. If people like Joe never got to work at home or people are going from home back to the office, maybe that worry is there about what happens to that package while I'm waiting to get home from work.
Yeah, and you know, folks have been trying to solve that in many ways, right? So our doorbell cameras have some effect, obviously. But Amazon has partnered, for instance, with one of the garage door firms to sell a product called MyQ that allows their drivers, you can opt to give their drivers access to your garage. And so folks are trying to solve it, but you know, that problem will never go away fully, right?
Joe, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's get back to my grocery shopping experience, Hart, because people love to hear about that. A change happened. I often go in off hours to my big grocery store, and there's me and some other shoppers and then a bunch of store staff rounding up the groceries that somebody else ordered online. Can you talk about the ways the shopping experience, you know, when you're going to a store has changed over the last couple of years?
Well, you know, these grocery stores had, you know, one of the most interesting things about the pandemic is it created this window of opportunity for folks in many industries, but retail in particular, to experiment. Things they would have rolled out slowly over many years and tried in a couple of stores to see how it worked, they had no choice but to roll it out rapidly. And one of the things that gets rolled out is, you know, whether it's a third party like Instacart or it's the store's own folks, using the stores as warehouses. And, you know, the way I talk about online retail versus in-person retail is in-person retail is designed to be a self-service warehouse, and online retail is a full-service warehouse, right? You go to it's self-service in the sense that, you know, Rob drives to the store, he parks his car, he gets a cart, he pulls his own stuff, puts it in the cart, carries it to the checkout, carries it out to his car. And, of course, online eliminates that task for you. But now what happens, I think your point is, what happens when they're not just using that store as a self-service warehouse, but using it as a full-service warehouse as well, with people with carts in the aisle professionally picking stuff? Mm-hmm. And guess what? It doesn't work very well. It doesn't work very well for the shoppers in the store because Rob's being pushed out of the way by someone with a cart and a computer and a long list. And in fact, it doesn't work very well as an e-commerce platform, even though its feature is it's close to the customers. But you never quite know what's in stock in the store because it might say there are three in the store, but three customers have them in their cart walking to the checkout. So sometimes stuff is in the store that you're not going to be able to buy online. Sometimes the stuff you want isn't there, and there's no means to tell you, here's a good substitute. Mm-hmm. There are all these problems with it. And so what folks are doing, in particular, this is true for Walmart, but I think for others as well, is, you know, for years they've been getting rid of the back room in their stores to make more shopping space. Mm-hmm. They're slowly putting some back room back so that they can use the proximity to their customers but have a separate storage area for a lot of items because you don't want those people in the aisles. And so it was a really interesting period of experimentation where we learned a lot.
We're talking about retail online and in person with UW-Madison Business School professor Hart Posen. Online, of course, big in the early days of the pandemic. It's scaled back. Some people are getting back into stores for in-store shopping, even though it's changed in some ways. And we want to hear you at 800-642-1234. Did the pandemic cause any lasting changes in the way you shop? Did you become more willing to buy things online and have them shipped to you? Were there certain things that you still want to go into a store to buy in person? If you work in retail at a Amazon facility, say, or in a big box store or in a small retail store, what has changed in your work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with UW-Madison Business School Professor Hart Posen with us today, looking at the latest trend in retail sales, shifting away from online shopping after a big jump early in the pandemic, back toward physical stores. And we want to hear your own story at 800-642-1234. Did your shopping habits change early in the pandemic? Have those changes stuck, or did you go back? Do you do some kind of hybrid thing, order something online, pick it up at a store? Do you work in retail? Did you work in retail and you left it during all of this? Tell us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Labor shortages affecting everything, lots of lines of work. How has retail dealt with this?
This has been obviously really, really challenging broadly across retail, including obviously restaurants and other things. And boy, you see this in terms of, you know, we were at going someplace recently, and on the sign, the door said closed because they didn't have any staff. I think so we know where things stood and the rate at which, retailers had to increase wages. At the Target I go to, they had a sign, try and hire. And you could watch every few months starting salary number go up and up and up. I think the big question in everyone's mind now is what will be the implications of the recent increases, substantial increases in interest rates on that. And I think one hypothesis is that those shortages will be diminished as people feel pressure to come back into the workforce.
Now, one newer wrinkle than our earliest conversations about all this, Hart, is inflation sticking around for a while. Are you seeing that? Are we stopping buying stuff? Are we cutting back on things? It doesn't seem like the numbers show that.
They don't show it yet, but you know, you should keep in mind that the Fed's goal, the Federal Reserve Bank, it is to slow consumer spending to cool down the economy. Mm-hmm. So, one take on it is rates will keep on going up until they feel their interest rate effect interventions bite on, amongst other things, consumer spending.
I mean, it seems like at some point we're going to have the Federal Reserve chair showing up in front of my local store trying to stop me getting in the door.
That's a nice image. You ought to draw a cartoon of that. That's good. Now, I like that.
On a more serious note, like over the last couple of years, some stores have closed. Smaller stores or chains have closed down. How much has gone away over the course of the pandemic?
You know, I don't have those specific numbers on me, but I think that in many sectors, yes, a lot of stuff has gone away, but a lot of new stuff has popped up. Mm-hmm. And I think one way to think about this is that those businesses that were the most borderline to start with were obviously the most vulnerable. And as many of them quickly got swept away at the start of the pandemic. And clearly for those families that own those kinds of businesses, this is a tragedy. But as those firms got swept away, they've been replaced by others. And so you see certain regional and local restaurant chains growing. You see a lot of that. You know, I think we should never forget that every time one firm goes away, something else comes in to take its place. And we may like it, we might not like it, but this is the process by which the economy finds new kinds of businesses and new kinds of enterprises and new kinds of products. And our economy over the last century has been very, very good at doing this.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us calling from upstate New York. Jim, hi.
Hi there. Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is a fascinating program. First of all, we're addicted to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Great.
And I come at this from a couple of different perspectives. One is that my family and I, of course, like everybody else, pretty much relied on online ordering and buying during the pandemic, but also from the perspective of an architect who designs retail stores. all over the world, country,
oh, wow,
for that matter. And and of course, my that portion of my business somewhat disappeared for a few months, but it came back. It's come roaring back, frankly, and a lot of it is, you know, I said to your producer, you know, we moved from a very large city to a very small village. And part of it is because we love that that interaction between ourselves and the person behind the counter, as well as running into other people. And that's part of what, I mean, boy, I really miss that part. We lived in Minneapolis for many years, and to run into friends and so on in the various stores. And we miss that. And I think I see that coming back in a lot of people. And I think a lot of people are feeling guilty about their downtowns kind of turning into nothing, and realize that they are the answer. And it's been very interesting.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Hart, you're nodding along there.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. You know, if you go back to the late 1990s and the early 2000s, you saw people talking about how maybe eventually one day online will replace stores. This mentality went on until maybe about 8, 7, 6 years ago, where folks started to think more richly about something we now call omnichannel retailing. There'll be many different points of contact. And the idea that a store is not a substitute, or online retail is not a substitute for physical retail, but a complement to. And I think the trick, as if it were easy to do, for these retailers is to find a store configuration that can make this work. So there's recently news from Macy's, the department store, and they found that for years they had been reducing stores, but they found a significant complementarity. Where they had stores, their online retail was most productive. They're not substitutes, they're complements. And just this social interaction in the physical stores, it's not just trying stuff on, but social interaction, which is innate to our human character, is clearly very important. And you know, you commented that you're a retail architect. Boy, you folks are important now, because now we have to figure out a whole bunch of new things, not just what the front of the store looks like, but what the back of the store looks like to facilitate that complementarity between e-commerce and physical stores to make it work really well.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234, talking about the recent past, the present, and future of how we shop online versus in person. Online came on strong for a while there. In person, doing pretty good now, it looks like. Still time for you to call if you call quickly at 800-642-1234. Hart, what are you watching for next? What are some of the big open questions for you right now?
I the thing that interests me most is to see which of these experiments that were undertaken during COVID stick around. The most notable one for me, because I go to a Target that's not too far from my house, is, and many places have it, these parking spots in front for in-store pickup. And the question is, how will this in-store pickup be done? To what extent are they able to rework that store to create inventory that's for the online, that doesn't interfere with the storefront shopping experience? And you know, the Target and others went to that store pickup very fast, but I don't think the way we see it now is the way it's going to be, or the way it's going to look in 3 years or 5 years. And I'm very interested to see how that changes.
Interesting. We've got time for one more caller, actually. Randy is with us in Ripon. Randy, hi.
Hi. I just kind of wanted to back up the last caller. I used to, back in the 70s and 80s, when we had all these catalogs in order, and I went back to my local stores as well as, well, you know, you got to go to the big box, but I prefer the small business owner, the small lumber yard. I like, to me, service has value. It isn't just price, it's the service I get. To me, that has means something. So that's all I had to say.
Randy, thanks a lot. I don't think that's uncommon, Hart. How can that smaller business owner in particular tap into that sentiment from Randy?
Well, you know, I think they're working very hard at it. But I guess what I would add to what Randy said, because I agree with him, is that many large retailers are also recognizing that service matters. And there are different types. There are Walmarts where service is not a big thing. But there is Costco where I think if you're a Costco shop, you'd recognize that the kind of service you get there is important as well. So I think it's important not only for small local retailers, but I think it's important for many large established retailers as well. And I for one, am willing to pay for service. And so I fully agree with the caller.
Thanks a lot for that call. Hart, in just our last minute or so, do you think that steady climb, not that huge jump we saw, that steady climb in online will probably continue into the future?
Absolutely, because the best retailers are trying to figure out how to make this complementarity between e-commerce and physical stores work. We are going to see a bigger presence in physical stores of online retailers. They're going to do more and more of it. And that climb will continue, but we will never see a world where it's 100% e-commerce or not even close.
Hart, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Great to be back.
That's Hart Posen, professor of management and human resources at the UW-Madison School of Business, with us today to talk about consumer behavior trends and an apparent shift in retail. The online surge early in the pandemic, well, people are going back to in stores a lot more. Still time for you to share your thoughts, your shopping experiences, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.